Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed.
Ooh.
Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Hour number two begins with the triumphant return of one Danny Klinkscale. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing, online at EastonRoofing.com. The best in the business when it comes to helping you with your roof, whether it's commercial or residential. Joe Spiker and his team, absolutely out of this world. The only people that I will allow on my roof. Danny?
Yeah, they're the only ones. Only ones who trod on my roof, advised me on my roof, fixed my roof, don't fix my roof if unnecessary. I would go to no one else.
Commercial or residential, it's Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426. A lot of hail's been blowing through, several different hailstorms. We had another one just this past, Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday there was hail on the south side of town. I don't know if it got up to the north side of town, but I know we had hail. I was out at about 151st, and there was hail there. 150, 60, 70s. I was hearing about hail. If you've had any kind of hail, that roof's getting a little bit older. Hey, inspections are free. Estimates are free with Easton Roofing. Don't wait. Call right now, 913-257-5426. See them online at EastonRoofing.com. Joe Spiker and his team are outstanding. Fantastic at what they do, and committed to Kansas City. That's why every single job that Easton Roofing does, Big Brothers Big Sisters gets a portion of the job. That's right. A portion of the proceeds goes to Big Brothers Big Sisters on every single job that Easton Roofing does. Locally owned and operated. They're a Kansas City company and proud of it, giving back to Kansas City. That's just one of the ways I'll add, by the way, some free roofs done for people that are in need. They do a lot. Habitat for Humanity, great, great KC company. If you need anything done with your roof, see Easton Roofing there online at EastonRoofing.com. Danny, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. I'm here and glad to see you for the first time in a few weeks. I was here last week, but
you weren't. Yes.
And
may have been partaking by this point already in a number of Coronas en route to putting together yet another deplorable American League fantasy baseball team.
Well, there you go.
It can't
be deplorable after 20 games, can it?
Oh, yeah, it is. It sucks. It's a keeper league. We can keep up to 7, and my keepers were trash. God bless Kyle Isbell. I'm like, for a dollar, I'll take a flyer because I had no good keepers. So this year is a rebuild year. Try to get back to middle of the pack. I think I'm in 8th of 11. So if I can get to the middle of the pack with the team and have some good keepers next year. NL team, second place, though. But I did that one Saturday morning, fresh in the morning. I was not multiple Coronas into the NL draft. That may have been part of it. Although I will say the entire league was quite deep when the league began Saturday night.
There you go.
Or Friday night.
Oh, it sounds like fun anyway.
It was fun.
I mean, fun is the object.
No, it's cutthroat. It's about winning. No, fun was the object.
Right.
How about the Royals? Are they fun for you yet?
I think the Royals are fun because I think they're interesting to observe. And you can observe them in multiple different ways and be super happy, be trepidatious, be skeptical, be bullish. I think all those things are possible. I mean, you can look at the fact that they have starting pitching that looks like it is sustainable, but has some age in it. And pitchers can always get hurt, and older pitchers get hurt more than any other pitchers. It's a young man's game. It's getting younger all the time, just like most sports. Their offense has been schizophrenic. They have scored 56 of their 92 runs in 5 games. They're 5-0 in those games. They've scored 2.6 runs per game in the other 14 games and are 7-7 in those games, which is pretty damn good.
Right.
So I don't know if that's sustainable, and I still do have questions about the offense. That's probably my biggest concern right now is the offense. They've had an out-of-this-world stretch for Bobby Witt Jr., and he's cooling off because you're not going to have a 1,400 OPS in baseball. And then
but
some other guys,
picked
it up. So that's happened. But then you have the conundrum of Mikael Garcia, who hit some home runs early on and got everybody excited, and that has apparently decided to completely submarine his career as a Major League Baseball player.
Submarine his career?
trying to lift the ball. Apparently has had deleterious effects on the other aspects of his game. So I think it's very, and what we've seen also, baseball bullpens are incredibly volatile, and the Royals has been incredibly volatile within 19 games. It looks good now and looks like it's straightened out, but they tossed away some games early on. So I think the Royals are fascinating, but what we wanted...
Easy, Greenberg.
Any of us is to say... 12-7 is what we wanted wins coming out of the gate. This team has stunk too often early in the season and ruined everybody's enthusiasm. You know, oftentimes, by the time the NFL draft has rolled around, so now they are in a position where they should be at least viable for a while now, barring... losing 12 out of 14 or something like that.
Well, they've got a 19-game stretch against all winning teams right. That begins tonight.
Right, and there's another aspect of it. They have played more than one-third of their games against the Cleveland Spiders.
Well, in the White Sox, yes.
Yeah.
Cleveland Spiders, for people who don't know, hold the record for the worst record in Major League Baseball history. That's one of the things we did yesterday. Going into yesterday, I don't know which one of the AL Centrals played yesterday, but going into yesterday, sub-500 teams. Guardians, 9-3 against them. Above 500, 3-3. Hence, their first place, 12-6. Royals, second place, 12-7. 10-3 against sub-500s. 2-4 against 500 or better. What are 500 or better now? Not right. At the time they played them. Because the Mets weren't then, but they are now.
Right.
Right? So, and I think the Twins were, but aren't now. Right? Because they were 2-1.
Yeah,
or something like that. Whatever it was. Anyway, Detroit 10-8 in third. They're 7-4 against the losers. 3-4 against the winners. How about this? Twins 6-11 have yet to play a team with a losing record. They're 6-11 against all big boys. Same for the White Sox. Yes, they're 3-15, but 3-15 against winning clubs. They haven't played a losing club yet.
Of course, they're now, contributing to the team,
which is what we said yesterday.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
It is. I'm with you, and it's why baseball people we may not like it. But they say, well, we got to get 40 games in. We got to get to Memorial Day, like, and then we'll take stock on where we are, because by that point you've played some good and some bad teams. You get a much more of a fair sampling. So, what is your expectation on what they'll do the next 19 games?
I think they're going to be okay, but I don't think they're going to pad this part. I would expect over these 19 games something like 8-11, which would be fine. And that would be kind of what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to survive, especially if you're the Royals. I still don't expect the Royals to go out and win 90 games. But I think the Royals can challenge to be a winning team. And if you are a winning team, the way this division is shaking out, except for the Guardians, who just seem to find a way to figure things out. And I'm not going to be surprised if the Guardians are quite good. Whether they played bad teams or not, they find pitching.
They
lost
really
their
have.
Best pitcher, but it doesn't seem to matter what they do.
I think we're going to see the Twins right the ship. Yep. The Royals and Guardians come back to the pack, and hopefully all four of these teams fight it out. And then it'll come down to who's healthiest or who has the big prospect to come up and give them a jolt in the arm or who can make a trade. The one thing we can agree on, I think, you tell me, I don't see the prospect
right.
That's coming up in Kansas City
no.
To give him a shot in the arm.
No. They're not, they're not Baltimore. They just find these, growing on trees, another star. I mean, they've got, their fourth best prospect is hitting .330 so far this year on the team. So,
you're talking about the Orioles?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is the big difference.
Right.
Both clubs sucked,
and the
Orioles
hit.
Stocked up on a ton of talent.
And they hit.
And the Royals did not.
No. But the other part of it is Bobby Witt Jr. for this year's team, is he going to be hell on wheels? Is he going to be like an MVP or MVP candidate, or is he going to be really good? Because I think for the Royals maybe to hit their 2024 ceiling, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have to be great this year. Like great, either the MVP or a top three MVP type player, and which he is right now. And does he continue that? I mean, he's gotten off to generally in his whole professional baseball career not just major league career. He's gotten off to slow starts, and this year he's gotten off to a sizzling start. Does that mean that he's just going to, you know, he's a warm weather player who's going to get even better? Or was this just a hot spell? I don't know. I mean, he still is a player that he's aggressive at the plate. He chases a lot of pitches. He's still that guy. But, you know, now people are more afraid of him, so he's going to draw more walks just because of that. I don't think but whether he gets frustrated by that.
Starts swinging at bad pitches.
And as well, I never get anything to hit. I don't ever. Yeah. And he's a naturally aggressive hitter by nature. That might hurt. Or he just makes the adjustment and says, I've got to take my stroll down to first and let somebody else do the work.
By the way, have you seen the early returns from the minor leagues? Have you paid attention?
Yes, I've occasionally paid attention. I am an Athletic subscriber, and they do deep dives into things like that. So, yes, I can't say that on a nightly basis. I look at what the Storm Chasers are doing, but it hasn't been dandy.
How about Blake Mitchell? Last year's first.
Right. He's been good.
It's been good in areas.
He looks exactly like the guy that was last year.
We thought that can't continue.
But it did. But it did. Now, he has picked up in the last couple of days because his batting average has gone above 200.
Right.
I will give him that. But right now, I'm trying to. Where's
right. In general, it's not been good. They did a thing about top prospects the other day in the Athletic, and it was like, no.
231, 455, 385.
I mean, it's not. That's.
How do you describe, and this is after last year's 147, 423, 177. I mean, clearly he's taking too many pitches, right?
Well, he certainly is taking a lot of pitches. I mean, but, I think that especially in the minor leagues, they start 3 or 4 days later? And, so they haven't played much at all. So I'm not going to really. But, no, going into this season, plus nobody's come out and had 15 games where they said, oh, the light's gone on for so-and-so. So, no, I think it would be very surprising if the Royals got a jolt off of anybody who is not in this roster right now, unless they go to the trade deadline, they're in contention, and they make a big deal.
This week, let's see, when did this week start? What date? What's today, 19?
Today's the 19th.
Yeah. 15, okay. So this week, starting with Sunday, he did go, this is the good news, he went 1 for 3 with 3 runs and a double, 3 walks. Then he went 1 for 2, no runs, 3 walks.
Yeah, he walks a lot.
He went 0 for 2, no runs, no RBIs, 2 walks. And then last night, he went 2 for 4 with 2 runs and a walk.
Yeah. That's why I said good. I was trying to be kind.
The concern with the low batting average and the high on base at that level is that once he gets to the next level, he's going to see much more quality strikes, and the walks are going to go away, and the hits aren't going to
His walks are to the point where you're like, he's terrified to swing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, and I think...
But I stink right now. I better find a way to get on base.
But that doesn't happen at the next... As you climb the levels, guys are just going to get you out.
I bring this up because I think it's an important one. They did already start to change the people around those draft picks.
Right.
That happened at the end of last year. Right? And he was not one of their picks. But I think it's an important one to know because they didn't fire anyone who did make that pick. They're still around. They're still listened to. They're still heard from. And if that's going to be the case, then he needs to hit. And he's done. He had a good week. I want to be clear. He had a good week. But he needs to have a good week, or there needs to be further change.
Well, you're swimming upstream severely. If you're trying to turn the corner in this organization in a shorter term without drafting well, it's impossible. Okay.
They're doing it right now.
Yeah, they are doing it right now. They made some signings in the offseason, but in the long, I'm more hoping that this is just sort of a season that allows the fans to be more energized. Some of the prospects who were, peripheral, weren't number one draft choices, start to become a little bit better. because they can't. You can't do this year after year. This isn't the transfer portal in college basketball. I mean, there's a limit on your spending. It's decided by you, but you have to. You know, the other teams are going to outspend you. You're losing the NIL race in this particular analogy. So if they turn this crap of last year, 56, into a contender this year, that would be great. But if the Blake Mitchells of the world do not come forward, then you're just not going to be able to do it, because you're going to go out and to continue the analogy, you're going to have a Dennis Gates offseason one of these years, and then it's not going to happen for you. So, I mean, I think we've gotten to the point now where we can say at least very good Bobby Witt is going to be, and that's probably that's the floor. I'd be shocking if he wasn't, if he regressed. But is Vinny Pasquantino going to be streaky, or is he going to be a fixture? Are some of these other guys going to be reliable major league hitters? Is Mikel Garcia going to be a good ball player instead of looking like he was taking a step forward and then cratering?
Taking 8 steps back.
That's why the 19 games have been fun. It's interesting. And it's a hell of a lot more interesting than if it was 7-12. That would still be interesting.
Yeah.
But you'd also be talking about Blake Mitchell in a lot more desperate terms. Like, what the hell? Everyone must go. Those off-season signings blew.
Absolutely.
We're 7-12.
Well, that and...
We split the games with the White Sox. They're awful.
And they've begun to make changes.
Right.
So there were changes that came after that draft pick. So...
Right.
Now, we'll see what the new brain trust comes up with this year. Where, again... They pick below. You know, that's what's going to blow is 2 years in a row the thing has frowned on them. And they've had a lower pick than they would have had in the old system. And then now they're going to be good and pick in the middle of the round because they're going to be a 500-ish team.
Right.
So that's annoying to me as a fan.
It's also annoying to look at, I mean, what the Orioles done is out of this world stupendous. They look like they drafted like 4 superstars in a row.
Jackson Holliday is 1 for 25.
Right.
Let's do... I mean, he rocketed through their system in less than 2 years as a high school pick. Trust me, because I got him in my fantasy league. He's 1 for 25.
Right.
I mean...
But his numbers were stupid.
Ridiculous.
In the minors starting the season, too. And we've got 3 other guys that were high draft choices who were playing, and they're all good. So, and I'm probably underselling how many there are. I mean, it's been crazy. It's just, they were saying, hey, we thought we were doing a good job. But
for the first week of the season, they were averaging more than 11 runs a game.
Yeah. Yes.
At Triple A. I mean, that's insane.
Right. I think they still have the best rated organization, or one of them, with all these guys.
They're all up. I'm saying a lot of them are up, and they still have.
Like the Dodgers.
Not all of them, but the
I mean,
top
the Dodgers, come on now. You don't have to be good at and rich.
Yeah.
It's like finding a nice guy. He's a benevolent billionaire. He gives money away all the time, and, you know, everybody who works for him loves him, and he's rich. That's the Dodgers. They're good at everything.
We'll take a break. More with Danny Klingskill. He's always brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Online at EastonRoofing.com. Did you know the most accomplished, the best, when it comes to the commercial manufacturers, the people that supply the roofing companies? They only supply the very best. Elevate, Gateco, Carlisle, JM. They only supply the very best roofing companies. They supply Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing can write warranties on commercial flat roofs for up to 30 years. Only a handful of companies across the entire country can say that. That's Easton Roofing here in Kansas City. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com.
R.I.P. Dickie Betts.
We've got a Dickie Betts story after your...
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. How many catchers have won an American League batting title?
Well, the... Twins guy recently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joe Mauer.
Joe Mauer.
He's 41 today.
And I think there's a couple in the National League, but I think maybe he's the only one.
You're right.
I'm going to go just him.
the two in the National League. Like one that. Has happened since Joe Mauer won his three. That's Buster Posey back in 2012.
Ernie,
the other one?
Ernie Lombardi,
1942. He won the second of his two.
Joe Torre or Ted Simmons didn't?
Not as a catcher.
I thought somebody back in the 20s did. But
I didn't see one.
Bubbles Hargraves or something sticks in my mind. I don't know. But
Bubbles.
That wouldn't that name stick in your...
Sure.
Or maybe I just didn't identify him as a catcher.
Yeah, that's possible, I guess. I don't know.
I know for a fact that he's the only, Maurer's the only one ever to win in the American League.
I remember that, I think Ernie Lombardi's the only right-handed catcher to ever win a batting title. I believe that's
true.
He won
two.
Yeah.
38 and 42.
Which is amazing because he's like renowned as one of the slowest people in the history of,
yes.
In Stratomatic, he was 1-8, which almost nobody is. It goes from 1-8 to 1-17. 17's the fastest. And he's 1-8.
The slowest great player ever.
Yeah. So that's what I always said, like, about the Brooks Robinson when he put on that display in the World Series that year. I've developed one of my favorite baseball sayings. You know what makes great defensive plays? Slow runners.
Lee May.
It was Lee May three times, I think.
The great backhand player. He's in foul green. Like, right. That's amazing.
And
like,
oh, it's Lee May. Look at him trucking down the line.
Anybody else is.
Carlos May would have beat it out, but not Lee May.
Speaking of amazing, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Mm-hmm. Get amazing barbecue tonight. Go to joeskc.com. Put your order in. Pick it up on your way home. They'll have it ready for you. They're the best in the business. And don't forget, if you're having folks over, we've got a lot of graduation parties coming up. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue can put on a tremendous spread. Find them online at joeskc.com.
It was in the same time frame. I'm not sure.
Go ahead, Danny.
I'm not sure it was consecutive concerts, but I saw Dickie Betts and Dave Davies of the Kinks both fall over backwards in the middle of guitar leads and had to be hoisted to their feet by roadies. Dickie Betts during Rambling Man and Dave Davis. The British pronunciation, in case it's Davies, for some reason it's pronounced Davis in Britain, during You Really Got Me, which was
boom
on his back and wasn't rise. Neither fellow was going to rise without assistance. So there you go.
Saying they might have had some chemical enhancement
or liquor, or whatever, who knows, or both. Likely both is what I'm going to guess.
How old this guy lived to be?
Old.
Yeah,
Dickie Betts is pretty old.
Too.
Yeah.
Not exactly deterring you from running right out and tying one on, is he?
80.
Was he 80? I thought he was 82. Who's the Rolling Stone that fell off a coconut tree? And Keith Richards.
Oh,
he's more preserved than still alive, though.
That's true.
Oh, he's still alive.
He's great.
That's incredible.
I mean, you see him. He's great. You see an interview now with him. He's just a riot. I mean, he may look decrepit, but he sits there and smokes a cigarette, and he's hysterical. He's funny.
How old is he now?
80.
He was supposed to make like 50.
I read his biography, which is really autobiography, which is really good, by the way. And it's astounding. It's astounding. He made it to 40.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, let alone. I mean, it's
when I saw the Steel Wheels tour in Syracuse, New York, first concert of my life was when I was in college, 1989. And everyone's like, well, you got to go, because I don't think Richards is going to be alive much longer.
Seems like a lot of these guys, they're either out in their 30s, or if they make it past that phase, they make it to 1,000.
Whatever. Some of them clean up, but some of them are just him. You know, he's never stopped doing what he does.
Good
for him.
Tom Waits said... drugs are for reality is for people who can't handle drugs, because the anti-drug campaign was always drugs are for people who can't handle reality. So he goes, no, reality's for people who can't handle drugs. And he's still rolling.
Kicking at almost 75.
Anyway, there's your musical interlude for today.
There it is. Parents everywhere, you can rejoice. Just done everything we can to keep your kids
on the straight and narrow
towards drugs.
No, but we should point out that there's a long list of famous rock and rollers who died at age 27.
Yes.
The
yes.
reason Keith Richards gets talked about is because he's very much the exception.
Yeah. Danny, the draft is around the corner.
It is around the corner. And
Next week, we'll know who the Chiefs have selected in the first round or that they've traded out of it.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
What do you mean by traded out of it?
of the first round.
If they move out of the first round, they won't have made a pick when we get on the air next week. Curtis and Bo Richter and myself and Adam will have sat here all night to go, well,
history says,
and then tomorrow,
it's more likely that they will make a pick than not make a pick. But they did make a pick last year when maybe they really didn't want to, but the draft was here. I don't think you can ignore that, especially considering who they picked. And the whole thing is, I mean, it's coincidental, it's circumstantial evidence, but you drafted a player who is seemingly a project, who is a local fella, and you were picking in your hometown. Would have been a big buzzkill to not have a pick. I don't know. I guess you could. I'm sure the Chiefs would absolutely disagree with this entire tale, but it's, boy, it sure adds up, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, if he doesn't have a big year, yes, for sure. And when they sign Michael Dana,
right,
it leads you to believe, like, oh, okay.
Right.
Like, no, he didn't break the bank, but he was still eight per.
You know what I think? I think the Chiefs, you know, you're making fun of me, so I'll just say interesting instead of fascinating like Mike Greenberg says.
Well, don't you get it? You're the one who made that show hard for me to watch because right, he literally is fascinated every 5 minutes.
It's good for him.
What a life to live, to be that fascinated all the time.
I don't watch it much anymore because I have now other options downstairs where I work out.
I'll
clip it on, and he's, I see it like, you know, maybe a total of an hour a week maybe now. And whenever I flip over,
he's fascinated. He is fascinated.
And he's enthusiastic. He's fired up. I mean,
when we come back, fascinating. We'll talk about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott again.
If LeBron James makes a historic run, that's what today was.
How will that impact the Cowboys?
How about dragging out that old one? That old chestnut. Well, will he draw closer to Jordan for GOAT status?
Well, can I like Brian Windhorst, who I think does a good job.
Yes, I do.
So I don't have to stick up for the guy. He does a great job covering the NBA. And to his credit, the topic was like, but you got to move. If Damian Lillard and the Bucks don't move on, I mean, he's gone, right? Can they not move on before I trade him? Like, can we just let that happen? Like, I was like, oh, good for you.
Right.
You know, like.
I think Brian, maybe that's why we like him. I think he's sort of the anti-Greenberg. I mean, he looks like he has to ramp it up positivity-wise. I think off camera, this guy is makes me look like
I'm glad
Captain
Sunshine. I'm glad he got there because when he first got there, it was like, oh, so the guy who carries LeBron's bags gets a spot on national TV. Right. I heard a lot of people complaining about that. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of seems that way. Let's see if he's any good. Well, he is good.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Okay? And so, yes, he rose to prominence because he had a name with LeBron and he knew everything LeBron.
Right.
And that's what got him in. But, like, would he know everything Steph if he'd been on the Steph beat? Like, that was his job.
Right.
Was to know what the hell was going on with LeBron James. That was happening. And he did it. And now I think he's as knowledgeable as anybody.
That's why they should split up. You know, there should be a little more variety because they're two main basketball people, Tim Legler and Windhorst. They're great.
They're really good.
I mean, they're great.
And
the NFL, they have some really good ones. But then they have so many that it's like going to the bullpen, you know, too many times. Somebody's going to come out and have nothing. Like the woman who's on there, I forget her, what's her name? She's terrible. I think she's awful. Just awful.
She's been an NFL writer in New York for a long time.
I know.
Not that long. She's not that old.
She seems like a nice – she's enthusiastic and seems likable.
So what don't you like about her?
It's nothing there. All there is is this. She's enthusiastic and bubbly and claps her hands. And then, you know, the Lewis Riddick and the defensive backs who are both good. They have good people on there.
Well, I did think,
not her though.
Yesterday I was watching, and Greenberg goes, "Well, it's why you and I," and he looked at her, meaning him and her, listen to the experts. And I was like, "You just called her not an expert,
right?
Well, like what is she there for? She's been writing about the NFL for 2 decades.
Like Rook Pryor formerly here in Kansas City. She's on very occasion. She's bad. She's way better.
She's very good.
She's good.
She's always been very good.
She's good.
And
where's she?
Well, she's the Steeler.
Right.
You know, but I mean,
they have her in studio sometimes.
They do have her in studio sometimes, and she does a great job.
Yes.
I like, what is, can you look up her name?
Put, yeah, what is...
Just look up.
Are you
look?
I'm trying to find. I'm looking up. I typed in. I think I have an idea who it might be. Is it
Jones? He doesn't want to type in "get up." Just put in ESPN "get up."
Put
and up he won't
ESPN
get in trouble.
"Get up" NFL analyst.
Yeah,
female. I mean,
anyway,
Google is not that big a mystery.
It doesn't bother me that I don't
Settle
remember
down, Beavis.
That I don't remember her name.
It bothers me because I watch the show more than you do. Because I'm sitting there working, I have it on in the background a lot. Because
right.
There are other shows I'm not going to watch.
Right. I know what you mean. I have it on. I go to that in the morning, but then I watch DVRs of other things. But then I set back. But, you know, I'll check back and said, maybe there's something here that'll.
Diana Rossini?
No.
She's at the Athletic.
And she was working she's been in Denver.
Okay.
She's African American.
She was in New York.
But I think she's been in Denver, too. I think she's working
I don't know about the Denver. Bob Glauber knew her from working in New York.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
And Bob's been retired for 2 years.
Right.
So.
Anyway, nobody. Everybody's so enthusiastic about it, we haven't.
If I Google one thing,
I should do it.
Maria Taylor.
No.
Is it, what's her name?
She's the basketball, Maria Taylor's basketball.
Kimberly, is it Kimberly Jones?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I haven't even found anybody
no,
that's
I know
she
so.
The one used to cover she used to cover the Jets and
Yes. Stuff.
Is that her?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, I don't really care that I don't know her name. But
I think it's Kimberly. I'm so bad with names. Why does this fall on me?
Sorry, I brought it up.
Now it's like a quest.
I mean, Kim Jones does currently work for Newsday.
That's not her.
All right.
No, that's not her.
No, it's definitely not her.
Kimberly Jones.
Oh, this is ridiculous today. She's on every day. She's on
it's not Mina Kimes, is it?
No.
Okay.
God bless you people.
She's like a mainstay. She's on every day.
I can't think of her name.
It's so stupid. It's pathetically funny.
Kimberly Martin.
There it is. Kimberly Martin. That's right.
Stupid asses.
KM. Kimberly Martin's here. That's about all she does. Clap like a seal. That's what she's good for.
Wow.
She's not. She seems like a nice lady. I'll say that. That's it. You know, other people that sometimes they're not good, and you're like, well, a creep to boot. She seems nice. Everybody likes her. So good. God bless her.
So again, to the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Is it Leslie Visser?
I'm going to kick you in your teeth,
Susie Colbert.
As long as you're seated.
Fired.
The Chiefs.
I think when you I'm going to be.
Steve
it's wide receiver, and defensive tackle, and it seems like that's where they're
no O tackle.
They don't seem to be inclined. There are certain things they don't like. You're Lane McConkey people.
Lad
McConkey. Who's Lane? Is there a Lane McConkey?
No, Phil was his dad.
Yeah, I know that.
Lane McConkey is on ESPN's Get Up. Used to work for the Newsday. Bob Glauber knows him.
Leslie Visser's husband.
Anyway,
well played.
Lad McConkey. If they draft him, he'll be the first. They don't seem to like that type of guy. You know, the possession-ish. Reliable.
He ran a 4.39.
I know, but that's the kind of receiver.
Because he's a white guy. He's a possession receiver.
Right.
Is that it?
No. I think he's a slot, but he's played more of a slot inside receiver at Georgia. He was more like that. He played. He caught more balls over the middle, I think, than you know, being a deep ball threat. But anyway.
Labels.
But I'm not afraid to say white guy. You know, surprisingly athletic. That's always white. There's nobody's ever said surprisingly athletic about a black guy. Have you ever heard that? Now they'll say, not that athletic. You know, that'll come. But or he's very articulate.
Bird magic. Just
That's the worst. I think that, but that would be surprising. One of the things that I follow on The Athletic has Lad McConkey going to the Panthers right after the Chiefs. have drafted a Don A. Mitchell. So,
and
and a bunch of D tackles are in this area. That's why I think that, you know, I think the run on the defensive tackles is going to be there, but it's going to start later. And I think it's going to be in the Chiefs' wheelhouse. So there's my Kimberly Martin level
and
draft
one of the things
analysis.
That Brett Veach said today about the offensive tackle position. So yeah, everyone says it's a deep class. It's deep if you're top 10. If you're top 15, it's a deep class. If you're 32, it's maybe a little different.
Right.
Which leads you to believe either they've pivoted away from offensive tackle because the guys they like aren't going to be there, or that's what they're trading up for.
I think that's possible, but it seems like I think they've been spoiled. I think and I think you make these points over and over again. They've got to avoid the temptation to get Mahomes'd. As far as offensive tackle, I mean, what have they done? They brought in, said they paid some money, but these, you know, they weren't, you know, they've never gone for the best. And they've survived, clearly. I mean, they do so many interesting things. That's what started this diatribe. Can you, for the life of me, Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Again? Really? Do we just even? Can he just go away so we don't have to talk about him?
Well, you're bringing him back. Yeah. No, I agree. I don't get it.
I don't understand. I mean, I just don't. Is he like a Lucky Charms?
Well, I'll say this: I understand him more than I'll understand Kadarius Toney still being on the roster after training camp.
Well,
and they made a point to talk about the only thing holding him back. Right. His injuries.
Well, Kadarius,
I literally
at least
on the
Clyde
Zoom.
Edwards-Helaire has been a reputable teammate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. On the Zoom, I had to catch myself from shaking my head because I was on video. Literally going to be like,
yeah,
like, you know, the slap to the face. Like, I was going to do that.
RCA Victor dog.
I do look forward one day, whenever it is. And listen, I hope it's 10 years from now after a Hall of Fame career that blossoms this year for Kadarius Toney. And he's an absolute rock star and the king of Kansas City. I hope that happens. And when it's done, I'll be like, wow, how'd you see through the first 2 years of just absolute nothingness? You guys are brilliant. What was it that kept you going?
Right.
More likely, I think, sometime next year, I'll be like, why for 2 years? Why did you stay the course? I don't get it.
I don't either. He's such a pain. I mean, it's absolutely such a pain, too. Get to hear the song. I hear it every Friday, so basically I never listen to it any other time. Friday! Especially for me, there it is. Cut you off.
It's probably a coincidence.
It plays at this time every Friday. Wow, just like the Chiefs drafted Felix 32nd.
So again.
Yes.
I'll try again. Danny Klingscale's with us, brought to you by Easton Roofing. Online at eastonroofing.com. The Chiefs will draft who?
A wide receiver. Whatever wide receiver is left, that's who they're going to draft.
Always a good policy.
I think they can use a wide receiver.
How about take the best player available, weighted by position value?
Right, but that's really all everybody does, no matter what they say. Nobody. We just
not
went
true.
By the board.
Not
bull,
true.
Bull
not,
feathers.
Not,
bull feathers.
Yeah, not true throughout the league, and not true of this team either.
No, I don't think they. What are you saying is not true?
I don't think they always do take the best player available. I think they go.
No, I don't think they ever do. I think they almost never do.
I don't think that's the case either. But I think they go into it with what they'd like to happen.
Yes.
And I think more often than not, the reason they trade up all the time is because they got something they want. I think they stay true to the fact that, well, we're not just going to take Kyer Elam. The last corner we think is worth it is Trent McDuffie, and we got to go get him now. And so they trade up.
Right. I agree. I think if the guy who's best on their board does not fit as well as somebody else who might be seven down the board for their team. They're going to pick the guy seven down the board. They just lie all the time. It's lying. Liars. Pants on fire.
I think the spots they won't take, safety.
We were so surprised when he was still there. There's another one. It's like he's in the best shape of his life at spring camp training. We couldn't believe he was still there at the 32, 64.
You hear that from Veach and Andy Reid?
Yes, yes, especially later in the draft, they say it. Everybody says it. We were shocked. We had him rated high in the way.
I occasionally hear it later, but I don't hear it in the first round.
No, the people don't say that much in the first round because the guys are rated high. But it's
you don't. They don't say it, but they say it all the time.
No, they say it all the time later in the draft. In the first round, they're not going to say it because the guys are highly rated. Except for the occasional doofus New York Jets pick that has everybody going, and they all turn out, and those idiots in their helmets all turn out to be right.
He didn't lie. Who's the only pitcher to win at least 40 games for both the Royals and Orioles? Brought to you by Good Sense.